This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware, Peak, here with Tim Henney. When Shiva Rose, our next guest, found herself diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, she changed the course of her life. Shiva, an actress, an activist, a single mom, and now a leader in the all-natural beauty and lifestyle space, turned to ritual, to Ayurvedic practices and Kundalini yoga to get her on the road to recovery. Now, two decades later, she's thriving and guiding others towards their highest health. Her new book is called Whole Beauty, and it's a beautiful book. It's daily ritual and natural recipes for lifelong beauty and wellness. Shiva Rose, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you. I love that name.
Well, I love your name, Shiva Rose. I think it's so interesting that what you put forth in your book is what we all ought to be doing, which is taking charge of our own health and our own well-being. But you do it to the nth degree, really. And so I'm wondering if you would share with us the story of when you were diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which for a lot of us just spells a lifetime of dealing with it. You chose to deal with it in a different way.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was, it's sometimes the thing that is one of the worst things for us in our lives turns out to be the thing that will guide us on our journey, whether we want to be on it or not. And for me, it was after the birth of my first daughter in my early 20s, I just could not recover. And I finally found a way to a rheumatologist who diagnosed me with autoimmune issues, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. And I was told I would have a year to live if I didn't take drastic measures. So that sort of propelled me onto the road. But it wasn't that moment. It took many years and many different modalities until about 10 years ago when I decided to really go down the holistic path and start eating all organic food, adding more fats to my diet, using only clean beauty products, having no chemicals in the house. So I sort of did that transition, and I started to document it on my blog, The Local Rose, and just sort of transition into this more mindful, connected living space for myself and my daughters. And then so that blog was sort of before the wellness trend took place. So it was really from an authentic place of survival. And then that led to creating my beauty line 5 years ago. And then that led to the book, which is where we are now. And I'm so grateful that all of that has come through.
Wow, that's an interesting story. And I'm wondering, what comes up for me is that there's so much that we don't know about autoimmune diseases. And I'm curious about your theory on why it happened to you, that it came your way. And then, do you feel like it's a reflection of what your health was like at the time, or was it your mental state? What was it?
Well, now we're realizing that there is such a correlation with mind, body, spirit. I think it was so much. I feel personally we have so many more evidences of Lyme, of autoimmune, thyroid, adrenal, cancer, and I feel like this is a direct reflection of the earth and what's happening to the planet as well, and we're interconnected with the planet, so it's what's showing up through the planet is also showing up through our health. I think for me, myself, I had a very traumatic childhood, so I think maybe I had suppressed some of that trauma, and then it eventually came out in the physical form. For me, it was mental and emotional and physical. It was also diet. I was a vegetarian, strict vegetarian, but I was eating a lot of inflammatory foods. This is in the 90s. I was eating a lot of pastas and breads, which was all genetically modified and adding to the inflammation in my body. So it was educating myself on food and adding more. In Ayurveda, they say, science now is saying, too, our brain is made mostly of fat, and my brain was basically dehydrated. I did not have enough fat or oils in my brain. So adding, the Ayurvedic traditions of more ghee and butter and whole foods and coconut oils, all of this has helped me tremendously. you know, just being in rhythm with nature, getting quiet, having space in my head. And look, I'm a busy person. I have, you know, a single mom with two jobs, and it's, sometimes I just have to get up. I make it a priority. I just have to get up at 5, you know, to do some of the things I want to do. But in the long run, I see the benefits of that.
Do you think that people like yourself who are maybe very sensitive to, as you said, you know, things that are happening at an earth level, and you have, so you were dehydrated from certain fats, and that puts you in sort of a physical state to be more susceptible or vulnerable for things that are happening on more of a earth-based level, some traumas that are happening. But are you kind of the canary in the coal mine, and others like yourself who are hypersensitive or especially sensitive to kind of what's happening on an energetic level or an earth-based level?
Definitely. I would definitely agree with that, because I was always a sensitive kid. And, you know, I was like the kind of kid who would like break down hysterically crying when there was a tree cut in front of me, you know, and I didn't know why. You know, I just thought I was a weird kid. But now I'm like, oh, well, of course, because, you know, the more and more scientific evidence is telling us these trees are we're connected to them, and they're connected to us, and they're making, giving us oxygen, and they're living beings. And so definitely I would say us that were labeled as too sensitive, or, you know, all of those labels we were given, we are definitely sort of canaries. But I don't think we choose to be. Like, believe me, there's been many times when I'm like, please, can I just go about my life in a regular way and not have to deal with all this stuff? It would be a relief in some ways, but this is the path that I'm on now, and if I can help myself and then help others, then that's the silver lining.
And how does it feel for you on this path that you're on now to see some vindication and validation from the scientific community? Because if you just went back maybe 20 or 30 years ago, as you said, you know, you would have been viewed as kind of an odd person or a weird person or a too
totally.
Sensitive person. And now...
Yes, it's an exciting time. It's such an exciting time. And I've seen the shift happen in the last couple years. I mean, in Kundalini yoga, we say this is the Aquarian age. And even though it seems like it's so dark at times, we're also going towards a whole new way of being. And it's so exciting to see this shift happening. I mean, just a few years ago, I pitched my book in New York, maybe 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a series of no's. It was just like, no, no one's ready, no. And I was like, okay. And then I just know now from practicing this that it's all timing, and we can't influence timing. Timing is just when things are ready to be revealed. And then I got a new book agent who approached me, and we went and pitched the book, and it was like a series of yeses, and there was a bidding war. I was like, oh my God, in a matter of 2 years, the whole perspective had shifted, and now was the time to birth this book. And then that's when you know you're in alignment, because then it's just easy. There's no struggle. Everything was just easy with this book. The right publisher, the right photographer, the right timing of it. It just flowed. It was never like people say, oh my God, it must have been so hard to write. I'm like, no, it just flowed. Everything was just a green light, you know? And I think that's when you know you're in alignment, when it's not a struggle and it's supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen.
I'm sure our listeners right now are hearing that and reflecting on things in their lives that just seem to work and just comes easy. And knowing that it's the time, and 4 years ago wasn't the time, and yet the knowledge and everything that you put forth in your book was current 4 years ago. It was very current. It's been current for over a decade, maybe 2 decades, but just in these circles. So it's great that you could now share it. And if you're just joining us, our guest is Shiva Rose. Her new book is called Whole Beauty, Daily Rituals and Natural Recipes for Lifelong Beauty and Wellness. Shiva, could you share with us, you start by talking about three parts of your book, rituals, Kundalini, and Ayurveda.
Yes. Also, I wanted to say really quickly, too, sometimes when we are in the midst of it, you know, we don't know that it's a timing thing, and mm-hmm. just to be patient with ourselves too, because you know, sometimes it doesn't mean that we should give up on our hope. That's when intuition comes in.
Yeah.
You go, okay, do I just give this up, or do I continue and just go with a different time? And that's something I think when you hone your intuition more and more, you kind of will know about that. But yes, the book has all the sort of basic principles that helped me get to a more whole place. From tea ceremonies, which is a form of meditation, to kundalini. These are all practices I do every day. And I feel like we all yearn somewhere for ritual. I feel like it's mm-hmm. part of our DNA. It connects us to the sacredness of life. It doesn't have to be religious. It's more of a spiritual thing. And for some people, that's getting into nature. Nature is a big healing balm, and that's like something that doesn't cost any money, you know, just to go and sit somewhere next to a tree, feel the earth pulsing beneath you. So I think those are sort of the pillars that got me onto the path of self-healing. And I'd love to share those with people because there's so much information. I mean, that's the exciting thing about now, too, is there's so much information out there if you want it. And you can look up a kundalini meditation 2 seconds on YouTube and try it, you know, for yourself.
Yes, I think most of us recognize the value of ritual, and yet many people are either resistant to it or they just don't get around to it. They are too busy. And like you say, you wake up at 5 a.m. to practice some of these rituals. Could you talk about how to develop ritual in a way that you become sort of addicted to the ritual, much like my friend Tim here is addicted to his glowing green smoothie that he does or every morning for 5 years?
Oh, I just started on the celery juice about a month ago, and which I know is such a craze. And I'm feeling like I may be like Tim, I may be doing this for the rest of my life because I'm definitely seeing some results. I think, yes, ritual, I think sometimes people get scared of it. But I like to say, you know, start with 3 minutes a day. You know, I single mom with two jobs, sometimes I have so much on my plate, but I make sure to just get 3 minutes in the morning, you know, or 11 minutes if I can. And it's just that it's like a muscle. The more you do it, the more you'll see that it'll be easier and the more it'll lead to something else. I mean, I had something called monkey mind where I could not meditate for the life of me, you know, years ago. And that's why kundalini and tea meditation, these practices really drew me in, because you don't think that you're meditating. Because if I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to sit and meditate right now, I'd be, you know, jumping out of my skin. But by the very nature of making the tea, it becomes a meditation, like heating the water and steeping the leaves and drinking the tea and sitting in thought. You know, that's all part of the meditation. Or kundalini, you're saying a mantra and you're breathing and you're doing a kriya. So you're doing so many things, you don't realize you're meditating sometimes. And that, for me, has been such a great lesson, because now I can sit for 20 minutes and meditate, but it took me through kundalini and tea ceremonies to get me there.
Shiva, I'm curious. I don't want to beat this theme to death, and we're kind of focusing on sort of ritual and mindfulness and commitment and dedication, but there is something really interesting about how some of these rituals come and go, and sort of your personal beliefs about allowing them, almost, you know, having the space to allow these things to come into your life, be present for a period of time, and then go, and maybe come back again, and not beat yourself up if you find yourself not going to yoga or not meditating.
Oh, yeah.
I find myself, I love yoga and I love meditation, but it hasn't been part of my life for a couple of years now, neither one. And as you say, you know, it's an easy ritual to become addicted to, and I know that, but there's sort of that conflict, that rub for people like myself.
The thing is, I don't think addiction is probably the good thing.
Yeah, no, that's not a good term, but the craving.
But I understand what you're saying, because I think people get caught up in the stress. I mean, the number one worst thing is the stress. Like, a lot of people are getting these food disorders where they can't eat out if it's not organic and healthy. And then you're like, wait a second, that sort of like reverses any of the health benefits you had for wanting to eat healthy because you're stressing about the food, you know? That's why I think we have to release a little bit of these ideologies. And that's the old dynamics of the Piscean age. And Kundalini, they believe we just entered the Aquarian age. The old Piscean way of thinking is punishment. You know, if you don't do this, if you don't do your meditation every day, you're going to be punished. That's the old way of thinking. And that has to be, you know, thrown out, you know, starting. It has to be in a flow. It has to be more of this feminine way of this sort of circular spiral way of living where some days you will and some days you won't and eventually you'll gravitate towards it because it'll feel good. But there should never be the sense of punishment or like, oh my God, I didn't meditate today. Everything's going to fall apart. That's the old way. That's the antiquated way that does not work. And I really think that it's just, you know, taking baby steps. And sometimes they say, you know, I've been doing the same Kriya. I was doing it for 2 years. And then I heard somebody say sometimes it can go from medicine to poison if you don't need it anymore. And I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So I'm going to change up my Kriya, which is like a specific yogic meditation or practice. And I was like, yeah, that's true. You can get to a place where it starts becoming all by rote, you know, and you're just doing it out of habit and you're not really getting the benefits of it. So I think it's important to be fluid in our thinking and start a practice, but do it in the moment with what feels well. If it starts feeling like a chore, I don't know if that's the way. I mean, definitely there's some discipline there, you know. I think there's some happiness we gain from living a life of some discipline, but discipline in a new sense, not in the old punishing sense.
Yeah, I like that. Sense? Yeah, that system of flow that you're speaking to. And boy, you poor Pisceans out there who are full of self-judgment, apparently. But the good news, it's time to shed all that self-judgment and step into a new space of Aquarian. And so you've touched on that space of Aquarian and what it represents. But could you give us a little more detail on what you hope? And I'm sure your book is opening that doorway for people to explore a more Aquarian age. But what are we stepping into if we shed the Piscean self-judgment?
I think it's sort of like dismantling the old ways of thinking. The old ways just don't work. You know, our earth is suffering. People are suffering. There's a lot of illnesses. A lot of it's about the Piscean age would be a lot about like the patriarchal ways of, you know, having a power source and you know, again, the punishing spirit. The Aquarian age is more about, you know, they said we were entering it sort of on the cusp of it in the 60s. Well, now we are officially into it. And you know, they say that sometimes as we get towards a more holistic, earth-driven, soul-driven way of being and living, only because the other way isn't working and we need a new way. But also there's some darkness that comes with that in the midst of transitioning into that era. So, yeah, it's just a philosophy, and I just think, just in my life, like, you know, how 5 years ago, they, you know, people would roll their eyes at some of the things that I'm talking about, and now there's, like, scientific data. So I think that's the Aquarian age, where actually people are like, oh, okay, mind, body, spirit does make sense. Oh, yeah, the earth is, we are responsible for keeping it healthy because it's a direct reflection of us. You know, all these ideas are not as avant-garde or silly as they were once thought of.
Our guest is Shiva Rose. Her book is Whole Beauty. Shiva, the book is beautiful. It's delicious. It's succulent. You're a beautiful woman. There are beautiful pictures of your property and you, and it is just a delight. It could almost be a coffee table book just for the quality of the photographs and how it just brings you in. I wanted to ask you really quickly, because we're almost out of time, about, we've talked on a very broad level, but there are a few things that, if you can quickly describe, tongue scraping and oil pulling. I have a very few friends who do both of these practices, Ayurvedic practices.
Yes. Well, thank you. First of all, I love that word, succulent. I'm going to have to use that.
Please
it's
do.
So beautiful. Yes, so these are old Ayurvedic ancient traditions that actually really have incredible health benefits. In Ayurveda, they believe our body is constantly detoxing, and the way to stay healthy is to help your body detox, because our body is such an incredible organism. It just knows how to heal itself, but all the detoxifying methods have to be in place. So one of the ways is when you wake up first thing in the morning, is to scrape your tongue. Your tongue is sort of creating, carries all the toxins that your body's been cleansing while you've been sleeping, and usually you have this, you know, coating on your tongue. So in Ayurveda, they believe you scrape your tongue and you get rid of that, get it out of your body. And once you start doing it, you get addicted to it because it really helps with beautiful breath and staying healthy, helping your immune system. And then the next step in an Ayurvedic ritual, morning ritual, would be to take a spoonful of oil, sesame, or coconut, and swish it around in your mouth for about 15 minutes if you can do it, 15 to 20. If you just starting out, start with 5 or 10 because it's a lot at first. And what this does is the oil pulls out, again, all the toxins that your body has created overnight. And then you you spit that out, not in a sink. You spit out either in the toilet or in the trash can, and then you rinse the mouth out. And that just sort of gives your body sort of the benefits of the detoxifying sleep you've had.
Mm, wonderful stuff. Daily rituals and natural recipes for lifelong beauty and wellness. Shiva Rose, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You called her book succulent.
Well, I know. I do like that word as well. But it describes it. The photos are gorgeous. It's a tactile almost book. It's an experience just looking through it.